الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عسى ربكم أن يرحمكم وإن عدتم عدنا عسى ربكم أن يرحمكم وإن عدتم عدنا وَجَعَلْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ حَصِيرًا آمنت بالله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected and honorable علماء اكرام Elders, brothers, young friends and sisters who may possibly be listening, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. We are already towards the end of the Mubarak and the sacred month of Rajab. And since the beginning of the month of Rajab, in the various Jummah programs, I have been discussing some qualities of the muttaqeen, servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has mentioned throughout the Holy Quran. In, of course, preparation for the month of Ramadan, because we all know that the month of Ramadan is all about taqwa, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has enumerated the qualities of the muttaqeen, of those who have taqwa, throughout the Quran, and that is why we have been discussing that in the various Jummah programs. And hopefully, inshallah, today also, I would like to discuss one quality of the muttaqeen, but perhaps towards the end of the Jumu'ah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us adequate time, inshallah. I would like to dedicate today's Jumu'ah discussion to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. Because in the week of the 27th of Rajab, when it is famous that the Mi'raj had taken place. For many, many years, the Muslims around the world have been commemorating and remembering Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, and this week is called Al-Aqsa Week throughout the world. And the reason for that is that Al-Aqsa, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak is the pulse of this ummah. It is the heartbeat of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is extremely important for us to familiarize ourselves with the history of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, to build up capacity with regards to that, and to work towards the emancipation of this haqq and this right of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which has been snatched away from us from 1918. It is extremely important for us to learn about the history, and I want for us, in the little time that is available, to take you through a journey of, inshallah, thousands of years in the little time that is available, so that we can understand the importance of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. We all know that the first masjid, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكَةَ The first house that was placed for the worship of people, for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that the people could go and worship, was Makkatul Mukarrama, and that was built by Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. When Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, then Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was asked to build masajid in various parts of the world, so that people could start worshipping Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the first masjid that he built was the Kaaba in Makkatul Mukarrama. It was first built by Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And 40 years after he built the Kaaba, Al-Musharrafa, then Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, the second masjid that he had built was Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. And the distance between the Kaaba and Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak is approximately 1,234 kilometers, the distance between the two masajid. So, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he built Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the name of that area became known as Palestine, as Philistine, because the people who started to inhabit that area were from Kan'an, the Kan'an tribe, and the Philistine people. They were the original people of this particular land. Nevertheless, after years went by and people started becoming negligent and started forgetting about the ibadat and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it happens, usually people are forgetful, they forget their purpose and objective in life. And the same applies to us. We need to keep reminding ourselves of the objective and purpose of our lives. Nevertheless, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then sent Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was born in a place in Iraq. Modern day Iraq, that is where Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was born. And we would know the incident of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. It is mentioned in the Holy Quran, where the people of his area, his father also, was not only an idol worshipper, one who would make the idols. And the Quran speaks about the how Sayyidina Ibrahim was expelled from his area. His father said that I want you to leave. فَلَمَّ اَعْتَزَلَهُمْ And he left them and he went away. So he went away from Iraq and Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam came and then settled down in this place that we refer to as Palestine. And he stayed there for very many years. And Sayyidina Ismail, Ibrahim alayhi salam, then built, he had two sons, Ishaq and Ismail alayhi salam. Ishaq and Ismail alayhi salam. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam started to rebuild Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak with his son Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam. He rebuilt the Kaaba in Makkah Mukarrama with his son Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ إِذْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ So the Kaaba was built, rebuilt by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam together with his son Ismail. But Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak was also rebuilt by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and his other son Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam. So it is important for us to know and understand these facts. Nevertheless, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam then passed away and he left his one son, Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam, in Jerusalem, in Al-Quds Al-Mubarak, and his other son was in Makkah Al-Mukarrama, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. And Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam then looked after Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. For very many years he looked after Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak and his son was who? His son was Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam. Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam was the son of Ishaq alayhi salam, who was the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This history is important for us to know and to understand. Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam's son was Yaqub alayhi salam. And Yaqub alayhi salam, we all know the incident of the Quran that where it is mentioned that he had 12 children. 12 children Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam had. And amongst his children were Yusuf alayhi salam, Binyamin, and the other brothers of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. And Ishaq, Yaqub alayhi salam is also known by another name. He is one of those prophets, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had other names other than their main name. Like Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Muhammad and he was Ahmad and Qasim and he has many other names and Muddathir and Muzammil and Taha and Yasin. And the Quran speaks about it and the ahadith speak about the names of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just like that, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam had another name which was called Israel. And his children were referred to and his progenies were referred to as the Bani Israel. And the children of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam and their progenies were referred to as the Banu Ismail. So this was some of the brief. Now the Holy Quran has mentioned a detailed incident of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. We've heard that incident and this surah was revealed in essence as a consequence of a question that was posed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you read all of this and you understand all of this, you will understand how Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak is so pivotal, so central to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the people of Makkah, the mushrikeen of Makkah, they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how was it that the Bani Israel ended up in Egypt? This was the question that they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi alayhi Allah tabarak wa ta'ala then revealed Surah Yusuf to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to explain to him how it was that they had to leave the area of Palestine and they ended up in Egypt. And Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam and his children ended up in Egypt. They ended up in Egypt. They were a small little family, extended family. And they ended up in Egypt. And it's a long story and there's no time to go into the details, but I'm taking you through thousands of years of history. Then the Bani Israel had settled, so the children of Yaqub alayhi salam settled in Egypt and Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, it was left alone, it was left desolate until after many, many years it became completely destroyed because of the passing of time. And hundreds of years later, after Yaqub alayhi salam passed away, their children passed away, the Bani Israel was settled in Egypt and they started to live now under the rule of the Fir'aun of that time and they were very much oppressed and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent amongst them Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and so many incidents of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in very many verses of the Holy Quran, so many surahs of the Holy Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then caused and allowed the Bani Israel to return after all of that oppression to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, to the lands of Jerusalem, but that too after they crossed the Red Sea with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun had drowned and other people had taken over the lands of Jerusalem and the Bani Israel were not interested in going to fight and Allah speaks about it in the Quran and it's important for us to understand those verses and they remain wandering in the desert for all of those years until they came amongst them. In the process, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam had passed away, Harun alayhi salam had passed away, many messengers and prophets came amongst the Bani Israel until a time came when a young boy amongst them, a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a very, very brave and courageous prophet came and he fought against the people who were controlling the lands and that was Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam. Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam then overpowered and conquered the lands of Palestine and Jerusalem and he came to the site of Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak and he started to rebuild al-Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak. But whilst building it, Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam had passed away and his son was then Sayyidina who? Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, and it is famous about him that he completed the building of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak with the help of the jinnat who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made subservient to him. In fact, they continued with the building of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak even after Sulaiman alayhi salam had passed away because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such فَلَمَّا قَضَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْتَ مَا دَلَّهُمْ عَلَى مَوْتِهِ إِلَّا دَابَّةُ الْأَرْضِ تَأْكُلُ مِنْ سَأَتَهُ.
No one, they were not able to become aware of the passing away of Sulaiman alayhi salam, because Allah made it such that he passed away whilst he was leaning on his staff. And nothing made them aware. And they thought that Sulaiman alayhi salam, the jinnat, was still watching upon them, and therefore they continued to build the Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak, thinking that Sulaiman alayhi salam was watching over them, until the ants had come and eaten the staff and the asa of Sulaiman alayhi salam, and that's when they realized that he had passed away. Nevertheless, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam then looked after al-Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak for very many years, and many prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lived in that vicinity. Zakaria alayhi salam, he looked after al-Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak. He was a caretaker. Sayyida Maryam alayhi salam, the mother of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, she used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in an area in the Al-Aqsa compound. Yahya alayhi salam, who in English is referred to as John the Baptist, he lived in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. And then Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, of course, he was born in that area. But 70 years after Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was taken up to the heavens, we don't say that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam had passed away. 70 years after Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was taken away to the heavens, bar rafa'ahu Allahu ilayh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him up, then al-Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak was destroyed completely by the Romans of that time. They had come and they had annihilated and destroyed al-Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak 70 years after. The period of time between Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is 600 and some odd years. So 70 years after, the bulk of that time, it remained then destroyed. It remained desolate. There was nothing that was there, nothing was happening until the time of the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was granted prophethood and nubuwat, then Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam started facing al-Masjid. He was living in Makkah Mukarramah, right at the Kaaba, but he would face al-Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak when he would perform salah. And the way that he would do it was, because that was the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he would do it in the manner that the Kaaba would come in between, but the Qibla was al-Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak. For the 13 years that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam stayed in Makkah Mukarramah, that was the Qibla. For 18 months after he made hijrah to Madinatul Munawwara, for 18 months that remained the Qibla of the Muslims. And it is the first Qibla of Islam. And therefore the importance, the centrality, the heartbeat, the pulse of the Ummah is Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. And even after the Qibla was changed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not, said that that does not diminish the importance of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. The Qibla was changed, that was the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was very many wisdoms and hikmats behind all of that. But the importance of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak as a central point and theme of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remains, and it will remain right until the day of Qiyamah. And it is important for us to build up capacity to teach our children to learn about the history of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam had mentioned in a hadith, whoever is able to go and pray there should pray there in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. And if you cannot, then at least send oil for it to be burnt in the lamps of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. Imagine the importance, wherever you are in the world, send some support and assistance for Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. Thereafter, after the part, of course, the incident of Mi'raj had taken place, and we would have heard about it quite a bit during this week and in the programs that happened. But what a significant point of history it was, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gathered He could have gathered all of the prophets and anbiya in al-Masjid al-Haram, but he gathered them in al-Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak, and he made Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the imam of all of the anbiya at al-Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak. So a very, very significant point of history again. And then after that, it was always the concern of the Muslims then to sort of look after al-Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak. And during the time then after the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, 6 years after he passed away, in the time and the khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu conquered al-Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak. And it is a remarkable, it is an amazing incident of how all of that happened without any bloodshed, nothing like that. Those who were the people who were there, the Muslims had surrounded that area for a number of months. And then they had said, the people of that town had come to send a message to the Muslim army to say that we are ready to hand over so long as your leader comes from Medina. Once he comes, because that is what is mentioned in our scriptures, and the details of him, of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, were mentioned. And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came, he signed a treaty which was called Al-Ahd Al-Umariyya with the Jews and the Christians of that land. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, during his conquest, on one day, he went to visit also the holy church of Sipalka. If I'm not mistaken, that's what it is mentioned. He went into that church to see where the Christians say Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was born. At that time, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the azan was called out for salah, and the Christians offered him to perform salah in the church, and he said to them that I will not perform salah in the church, because if I do that, not because it was a church, but if I do that, then in the coming generations of the Muslims, they will claim this church, and that will not be good for the Christians. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu went outside and he performed salah. And when they saw, the Christians of that time, when they saw this approach and this attitude of the Muslims and of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they handed over the keys of the holy church of Sipalka to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who gave it to the Sahabi from the Banu Nusayba tribe. And till this day, it is in that Sahabi's hands, and their duty is to open the church for the Christians every morning and every evening. This was the justice that Islam brought and the Muslims brought to those particular holy lands at that time. So that is another incident that had happened. And ever since then, it has remained in the hands of the Muslims. And there was peace and serenity for all of those, justice for all of those that lived in that particular area, until the time when the Crusaders took over in 1099. We are in the year 2024. In 1099, the Crusaders came and took over Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. They slaughtered and butchered 70,000 Muslim men on that particular occasion, and they remained in control for approximately 88 years only. 88 years they remained in control until there was fikr from the Ummah again. Nuruddin had built a minbar to install in Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak, and he was making fikr to conquer Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak again, but time and life did not allow him, and he passed away early. And soon after him, Salahuddin Ayyubi, and that is a lengthy incident. Salahuddin Ayyubi, in the year 1187, 88 years after the Crusaders had taken over, he came and conquered Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. He installed the minbar of Nuruddin Zangi in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, and it remained there. It remained there right until 1969. When an Israeli settler came and burnt that minbar, and it took the Palestinians 20 years to restore that minbar to whatever condition they could. So Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, we must never ever be deceived to believe that it belongs to someone else and they are the rightful owners of that. This is a legacy and a central point and the pulse and the heartbeat of this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring it back into the hands of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was only in the year 1918, after the First World War, that the British took over Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, and then the Israeli settlers started to come slowly because they were being prosecuted. No one wanted to keep them in other parts of the world. They were persecuted, and there was zulm and oppression that was met against this people, who we all can see, they are the scum of the earth. The scum of the earth. They came and they settled in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, and on the 14th of May, 1948, under the Balfour Declaration, without any consultation from the Palestinians, who were the rightful owners of the land, the British declared it as the land of Israel. So can you see the snatching? Can you see who the terrorists are? We must learn. A nation that does not know its history has got no future. And therefore the opening verses of the Quran, وَإِقْرَى, it didn't mean only read your du'as and read the Quran. It meant read in general. We need to start becoming a reading ummah. Learn our history. If we don't know our history, we will have no future. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to study our history, to return Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we must do whatever it takes for us to do to emancipate and to free Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. At the very least, we must be making dua. There should be qunut e nazila that is happening. Of course, Rasulullah's qunut e nazila is not established in the Hanafi school for perpetuity. But at the same time, there's no limits of 1 month for the recitation of school. I don't know why in our localities qunut e nazila has stopped. Yes, now and again, maybe there should not be perpetuity, but 2-3 days in the week, we should be making qunut e nazila. We must be asking and beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to emancipate Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, because these are the things that create. Otherwise, it just becomes life like normal. Whereas our brothers and sisters in Palestine are being butchered by this Zionist occupation. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.